Blog Talk Radio.
Colin.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
Mr. Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
There it is.
Yeah.
Never gets old.
Talking sports.
See the nation stand up.
Kick it up. Here we go.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Welcome, of course, to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We are taking on this Thursday, June the 8th. Man, I got nothing to say, man. I am chilling in Salt Lake City, showing love to my family. Shout out to Shay, Ev, to the crew. We are having a fantastic time, man, but that is what we're about to do. I'm your host, Andre. You're not calling any more technical fouls on me, so let's check in with my co-host, Mr. JQ. How you feeling this evening, sir?
I could be better. I'm a little under the weather, but I'm ready to talk some sports with my fellas, especially after that craziness last night.
Man, what you call it? Willis Reed's not coming out that door, man. You know what I'm saying?
No, he is not.
You got to push through that, JQ. No, but we appreciate you, man, because I know you're in the weather, man. So, we'll try to hold it down as much as we can see for you, man. Let's also check in with my other co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. How you feeling this evening, Rob? Traveling man.
Man, I know,
doing
right?
Fantastic, man. We're back on the air after a week off. So let's get this party started. We got a lot to talk about. Make it do what it do, baby, in the words of Ray Charles.
Make it
Old
do
driver.
What you do. Rob, what you have for dinner, bro?
Right. Got to tell us that.
Oh, fish and chips. You know, I had a little London, New England.
I was going to say, you went to the UK. You went London on the night. Fish and chips.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Fish and chips.
When in H-Town, you got to find what you can get your hands on.
No.
Rob's got some challenges. I love it. All right. For those that want to call into the show, as always, the number's calling to your boys. It's always 424-243-9519. Once again, that number is 424-243-9519. Follow us on Twitter. If you go to the number, if you go to at the number 12, THMAN Sports, we are in that arena. And last but not least, if you go to facebook.com/12thmansports, or if you put in Talking Sports with the 12th Man, you will find us as well. Gentlemen, we got a lot of things to discuss. Obviously, what was pretty recently was the NBA Finals, and we're going to kind of talk about this. So we're going to talk about the first topic is reactions to the claps for the Cavaliers last night. So, gentlemen, I'm going to kick it off with you, Rob. Yep, I got you. We're
all right, we got a little echo in the background. If somebody's listening to the show in the background.
I got you. We'll get that. All right, good deal.
But getting to the NBA Finals last night, the Cavaliers came up short down the stretch last night. And, he had a six-point lead with about 2 minutes to go. Looked like they had an opportunity to finally win a game. But just saw from my observations of seeing that game down the stretch, the Cavaliers started doing too much dribbling at the top of the key and started settling for a lot of bad shots, and it really hurt them. And what was really successful for them most of the night was getting to the paint with either LeBron James or Kyrie Irving, with either them finishing at the rim or even them drawing, kicking out to open three-point shooters. And they really got away from that there in the last 2 minutes, and it just seemed like they just choked. In those last 2 minutes, and obviously Golden State took advantage of it. Big three-pointer by Kevin Durant, and too many weapons. You look at this Golden State team. You realize you got two recent MVPs on that team, in Durant and Steph Curry, and you can go out through NBA history. There's just not too many teams that have two MVPs and still have some other guys on the team. There's been recent all-stars in Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. And then you have some other guys that's in the past been all-stars, like Andre Iguodala, David West. So it just got a lot of firepower on their roster. And they're obviously just way too strong for the Cavaliers. And like I said, what was successful for the Cavaliers last night, they got away from it in the last 2 minutes, and it really hurt them.
We'll talk about that, too. So before I get JQ on, Big Mike has joined. So, Big Mike, welcome, bro, as always, to the show. So we'll let you kind of chime in as well, too, sir. So hopefully you can hear me. Big Mike, you can say what's up, man. You in?
What's up, man?
Big Mike. That's what
all
they
right.
call your boy.
Mike,
on the movie, the Michael Orr story, what was the name of it?
The Blind Side.
Oh, The Blind Side. Yep.
Blind Side. That's it. Big Mike. Yeah, Big Mike.
Big Mike is in. So we'll get into. So we're gonna let.
No, now
welcome,
I thought
so
you were
gonna
talking
let,
about me.
Yeah,
we all talking about you.
Oh, man. Mike, it's all good, bro. It's all good. So before we get JQ's response to that, too, because I am going to ask the question, too, because, you know, I like how Robbie said this is a collapse. I don't know if it's a collapse as more as the Warriors playing well, too, but we'll talk about that as well. JQ, I'll let you kind
of
do your thoughts about this.
Well, they took advantage of it.
Right, but I'm just saying there's always two sides of that.
Not at all.
Right. I'm just – we're still open for that, too, but I just wanted to kind of get your thoughts on that, too, and kind of go from there, too. So go ahead with that, too. And JQ, the floor is yours, sir.
Yeah, I mean, it was a collapse. I would agree with Rob. And it's a shame because through 3.5 quarters, a little bit more than that, Kyrie and LeBron were putting on a show. I think they ended up with almost like 75 points between them. But I don't know if
Definitely.
They ran out
yep.
of gas or, mm-hmm. you know, they just the pressure got to them. But you know, they what Rob said, they stopped driving to the basket and making Golden State collapse and then kicking out. They looked like they were driving to kick out and premeditating it, and it wasn't working the same. And there's nothing else that you can really say about that. That's a collapse. You're talking about LeBron and his legacy.
They stopped trying to win
Kyrie.
The
game. Yeah, Kyrie yeah. doing what he did. That's a collapse, and that's something that's a blackout on LeBron. You're at home down 2-0. You have that kind of performance, and your sidekick has that kind of performance through 3.5 quarters. You got to win that basketball game. And to lose it, there's no other way for me to describe it as a collapse, but you got to give Kevin Durant a lot of credit to come down the court and walk into that three and just put a dagger
Ooh.
In Cleveland,
yep,
you know, with about a minute left in that game. But that to me, this one is on LeBron. This is one you have to have down 2-0. You know, you want to be the greatest and this, that, and the other. You can't lose that game.
Big Mike, your thoughts, man.
Sorry, I had to take myself off of mute. I'm in Florida, Daytona Beach, baby. It's windy as hell here, so I'm sorry if there's background noise, but Jaquan hit it spot on the head. Jaquan and I were texting earlier. LeBron ever wants to be in the greatest of all time conversation with me, or at least in my opinion, with Jordan, he's got to win that game. He's either got to win it himself, he's got to pass the ball and get it to the right guy, make the right passes, drive to the lane the right way, take the foul if it's coming, or score. However he's got to do it. Cleveland had the game won. You know, it's you weren't really up against the ropes, but you had gotten a jab that stunned you for a second, and you had mm-hmm. all the opportunity in the world to make it a 2-1 series.
Wow.
And you had a
wow.
5-6 point lead. I'm not sure if that's exactly right, but 5-6 point lead. And
they're down by
you couldn't win that game at home.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. You got to win that game.
Yeah, he had a 113 or 107, about a 6 point lead with about 2 minutes to go.
2 minutes left, yeah. But
and
back,
I don't
yeah,
think
go ahead,
you
got to
win
the rest
game.
Of the night after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good call.
Like I said,
because, all right,
one more thought.
Yeah,
I said to Jaquan earlier, LeBron has tasted victory. He's won the NBA championship before. He's won it with a supporting cast just like Jordan had. Jordan never won it without the supporting cast. LeBron has been to the NBA Finals plenty of times, a couple of times without a supporting cast, and he didn't win it. But the cast he's got around him this year, last night he should have won that game. Once you get the taste of victory, if you want to be considered the greatest of all time, you got to figure it out. You either got to win it yourself, or you got to pass it to somebody. Get the hot hand in the game and win it for the team. It was shocking to see the Cavaliers lose that game last night.
Shocking.
I'm not hating on LeBron. I'm not saying he's not the greatest player in the NBA right now.
Okay.
But I question,
which is an actual fact.
His closing ability.
Mm-hmm.
Always be closing, Kwan. Always.
Oh
be closing.
My God, ABC. we're kind of tapped. There's an elephant in the room here, guys, and the elephant in the room is the fact that, you know, again, we're going
to
talk about Kevin Durant,
so,
but
I'm
LeBron.
Sorry to interrupt, but I'm putting this back on mute because there's a bunch of hooligans around me right now. I'm out in Daytona Beach.
You're fine.
Keep talking.
How many drinks you had tonight, Mike?
Mike is up back there drinking. It's all good. No, but
how many drinks you had tonight, Mike?
Mike, he put himself on mute, Rob. He muted himself, but it's all good. But no, what I wanted to say is, guys, we're talking about this, like, again, like it's a collapse from the Cavs. And what if it was the fact that Kevin Durant wanted it more? You know, maybe this was a moment where he's like, I'm going to step up and make the shots. And again, I'm not trying to push that on you guys, that thought. But again, it is something, you know, it's a collapse. But, you know, the Warriors, they're there too. And they want to make history. They definitely want it. They do not want a repeat of what happened last year. It's been in their heads. They've been waiting for this moment. So, again, this is an opportunity for them to step up and say, all right, I'm going to take this by hook or crook. Yes, LeBron and Kyrie didn't make certain plays, but you do got to give the Warriors a little credit and say, hey, guys, we're going to take this as well, too. So, again, there's both sides of that coin, too. So I just want to throw that out there.
The Cavs,
to
I hear
America
what you're
too.
Saying. The Cavs, right. The Cavs left the door open for KD to want and his hunger to take over. I'm not saying that's not fair, but when you got a 6-point lead at home and you had a blueprint for what was working to what Rob talked about, alluded to earlier, then yeah, I hear what you're saying. They left that door open,
right.
And Golden State walked through it. Don't get me wrong. They walked through it. They kicked the door in, especially with that 3-point shot. But they could have scored. If they score, you know, one basket, maybe two baskets in that frame or a basket and one free throw, they win that game. You know what I mean? They just yeah.
All right, fair enough.
Absolutely.
So the next question is, go ahead,
Rob. JQ, you know, he hit a home run right there. The bottom line is Cleveland had an opportunity to close that game out. And, yeah, you give Golden State credit because they took advantage of it. And but, obviously, if Golden State, you know, all of them, Golden State just took advantage, in my opinion, of Cleveland's collapse. And, but you got to give them credit.
I give a lot more credit in the world.
And you're right, Golden State is the main reason why they signed Kevin Durant was to make sure what happened last year didn't happen again, and it's proven to pay off for them. I mean, they don't have Harrison Barnes out there shooting bricks like he was last year in the NBA Finals.
Right.
And now you got a cold-blood killer shoot. And, it's a fact. I mean, Harrison Barnes was hard.
Oh, it is a fact.
The last two years he was hard.
Correct. 100% correct. Yeah.
And that's the main reason why they went out and got Kevin Durant. I mean, you could make a case 2 years ago, if Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving were healthy, Cleveland could have easily won that finals 2 years ago. And I think Golden State realizes that in order for them to get past what happened last year, and that's the main reason why they convinced Kevin Durant to come. Kevin Durant hadn't won a ring yet, so it was a perfect match for them. And you could, if Golden State wins tomorrow night and go a perfect 16-0 in the playoffs, which I believe is going to happen, you can make a case this is the greatest team in NBA history.
Oh yeah, they're winning tomorrow. They're winning tomorrow. Cleveland is dead.
You make it Marcy.
This never happened before. And I
never happened before. It's gonna be tough.
I know hate is a strong word,
hate,
but I'm gonna say
you
it. Worldwide,
you hate Golden State. You hate Golden State?
Yes.
I felt that, Rob. Come on now.
And hate is a strong word. But I hate
them. I don't hate them.
I hate
the bandwagon.
Too, all
good. I hate the bandwagon and that they fostered with what's happening. Like, you can go into the Lid store here in Atlanta, and, you know, I can barely find one Cincinnati Reds hat, but they're like 12 different color Golden State hats. I'm like, come on, man. Like, you dudes ain't even never been to Oakland. Like, get out of here.
Yep.
You know,
LSU's making a comeback.
Out of control.
It's all good. Hey, don't let the hate, you know, kind of diminish the fact that it's a good team. So, you know, whatever we want to call.
No,
you know, but
I just made the comment that this you can make cases this is the greatest team in NBA history very easily.
Okay.
I mean, as great as, you know, I know we will never know the answer to this, but as great as Michael Jordan is, I don't think his Bulls could beat this Golden State team. I'm just, yeah.
We're going to have to
agree
to disagree. On
hey, it's Mike
about
here
that,
again. I agree. I think the Golden State team right now could beat those Bulls. As much as
if
I love
playing,
Michael Jordan.
If they were playing
especially under today's
rules. Now.
But last year's
today's
last
rules,
today's
yeah.
Golden State team
today's rules now.
Couldn't
yeah.
beat the Bulls.
Yeah,
of the 90s.
I'm with you, Dre. What kind of rules?
Yeah.
Can you hand check or can you not hand check? If you can hand check.
No, under today's rules,
Chicago wins.
The Bulls will not be able to beat this team under today's rules.
Fair enough.
What about under the Jordan rules? What about the rules of Jordan?
Under the Jordan rules,
it wouldn't be a blowout. It wouldn't be a 40-0
series. Be a little more physical.
Mm-hmm.
Way more physical. Way more physical.
I'm going to take you back to the game, guys. Let's go back really quickly. We're going to talk about Kevin Durant and ring chase. Remember whenever Celtics were down and Kevin McHale clotheslined your boy. And then that just totally reshaped that series. Yep, Kurt Rambis. Thank you. I lost my train of thought there. That changed the whole series right there because then became more physical. And things like that don't happen in today's NBA, which is what we're going to – you know, that's what we're talking about. How, you know, just Cleveland need to pull. I'm not saying they're going to do that, but it's just
because
a different game, you know. So
you get kicked out of a game for doing that.
You cannot. Exactly. So that's what we're talking about as far as, you know, the certain things and, you know, great errors and different things. And it's just a whole other different argument as far as that perspective too. But anyway, I'm just saying there's certain things that you could pull off that won't work. And it's a totally different game, man. Totally different game. So, I don't know. It is what it is. We can keep this topic forever, guys. I know. We've spent 10 minutes on this. Let's talk about, speaking of Kevin Durant, should he be criticized for ring chasing? So, I'm going to leave it to you. Start off with you, JQ. Should he be criticized for ring, or is this considered ring chasing in your opinion, sir?
Oh, it's absolutely ring chasing. And my thing is, you know, he didn't do it in the same manner LeBron did. And I understand why LeBron got the hate, the decision, and the not one, not two, not three stuff, because he took it and hit it to a whole nother stratosphere with that. But if you look at it, I mean, if Kevin Durant goes back to that team, he's going back to the team that had Golden State down 3-1 and let him off the hook. You know, he didn't go leave a team that got swept by him. He was like, you know what, we ain't never going to make it. I got to leave. And everybody's like, yeah, you're right. Like, they were up 3-1 on Golden State. It was like, let's not forget that. You know, that was the original 3-1 collapse that gets buried because Golden State had a worse 3-1
Russell
collapse.
Russell Westbrook had a cities. Terrible fourth quarter. Oh, my gosh. Carry on.
Yeah,
Oklahoma City
blew it. So, I mean, I understand what he did. Don't get me wrong. You know, he saw an opportunity to play and be the missing link for a team that could go down as one of the greatest of all time. And he took that opportunity, and that's his right as a free agent. So I'm not mad at him. I'm just saying, but if you're going to criticize LeBron for chasing, this is definitely a ring-chasing move. And I'm not hating on him for doing it. It makes basketball sense. And he's still going to get paid, so it still makes financial sense. But if we're going to criticize folks, I mean, he went to a ready-made team and just put them over the top. And
there's
I
no
mean,
guarantee,
that is ring
friend,
chasing.
Well,
yeah, come on.
Here.
I know.
Come
on, man.
I'm with you. Fair enough. That's your opinion. I love it. Rob, your thoughts. Mike, stay tuned. Mike, you're coming next. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, and obviously every player's dream is to win a championship when they start the season. So you can't knock Kevin Durant for wanting that opportunity. I would say the difference between what LeBron did when he went with Miami, LeBron went to put together a team that he had a hard time to beat the team he had a hard time beating in the Boston Celtics. And the difference with Kevin Durant was he was so close to beating the team he joined. And so LeBron didn't join the team that he couldn't beat like Kevin Durant did. And he went to put together a team that he put together a team so he can beat the team he couldn't beat.
How can
that's a
Cleveland?
Little bit of a difference. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
How can he put together that team in Cleveland?
Because nobody want
to
go to Cleveland.
Sure the, I'm sure he's working on it.
I'm just saying. Same thing. Could have stayed there. So he left too.
The purpose of every general manager, you can't knock what Golden State did. I mean, so you can't knock what Golden State did. Every general manager's job is to put together a team that's going to put you in position to win the championship. They went out and got Kevin Durant, and it put them over the top. They made sure what happened last year didn't happen again. So kudos to the general manager, Steve Kerr, and the organization of the Golden State Warriors. And obviously I know the players had a lot to do with that, convincing Kevin Durant. That's their job. And I think what LeBron James said last night, he hit the nail on the coffin. And he said that's their job as a team, is to put together the best possible team to win the championship. And I'm sure that's for Cleveland. Now, obviously this offseason, we got to see if Cleveland is going to have an answer, because to me, if they're going to have any opportunity of having a chance of beating this Golden State team, I know this is a topic coming up, how many championships Golden State's going to win here in the next 10 years or so. So the key move for Cleveland, what do you do to improve your roster? Because Golden State has more talent, more all-stars than Cleveland, and they have a better bench than Cleveland. And so how does Cleveland fix that with a salary cap that's pretty strapped here?
I'm fairly ignorant to this, but what are the contract situations between LeBron, Kyrie, and Kevin Love?
Kyrie recently signed it. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, they all pretty much. LeBron James, if I'm not mistaken, is going to become a free agent, but I don't see him leaving Cleveland. But Kyrie and Kevin Love still have some pretty long-term contracts, and so does Tristan Thompson. And those three contracts alone are pretty maxed out. And so they don't really have a lot of flexibility for getting any new players to come in, unless LeBron takes a serious pay cut. I seriously doubt that, too. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think
they don't have a lot of flexibility.
Rob, to your point, and I agree with you, Rob, on most cases. But for this case, where does the Cleveland GM stand in not getting one of those high priced free agents or somebody that can come in and put them over the hump? Because they're not that. I mean, the first two scores don't show how prolific the Cleveland team is. I think if you put one more good player on that team, they're right there with Golden State. And I could be wrong
it's going to be tough to do, though.
But it seems like if you keep those three together and you get one more guy, one more good defensive guy that can score and contribute, you're right there with Golden State. Golden State's phenomenal.
Yeah, but think about
that.
But
you got LeBron James in Cleveland. He is the man.
I think the problem is convincing somebody, if we're being honest, let's open up the Rolodex of players. Can you get Chris Paul to come? Maybe, but then you got to waive and you can do a whole lot of financial movement that I don't think they can do. If you try to trade for a Jimmy Butler and a Paul George, that's going to cost you one of those three, and it's probably going to be Kevin Love. They're going to try to pawn off with some picks and some cap fillers, you know, to make the salaries match up. And I don't know if Gordon Hayward is in the equation for them. Again, it's the same thing with Chris Paul. How do you clear that space, or convince them to take less money to come? So I just think they're in a different situation where Golden State was going to potentially lose Harrison Barnes to free agency anyway, and they already had a trade lined up for Bogut. So the salaries matched up to where that could happen. I don't think that same circumstance applies for Cleveland heading into this offseason. Cleveland GM is going to have to make his money this offseason because he's going to do some gymnastics to Durant and somebody of that caliber to that team. I just don't think the timing matches up well with the way the contract structure is. So it's tough.
And so, Phillip,
the thing we
got to
remember here too is
maybe a more forward thinking question: where does this stop between what Golden State's got right now and what Cleveland could potentially do? Or, you know, you start building teams like the Heat had a few years ago.
Yep.
Does the NBA put a stop to these all-star teams?
Super teams. Yep.
No. A lot of people think that this just started with LeBron James, but it really hasn't. Well, I'm going to get into that in just a second, but I want to just kind of talk about Golden State and the reason why they've been able to put this super team together here really quickly. Steph Curry, a lot of people don't realize, does not have a max contract right now. So they had a lot more cap flexibility.
Right.
Yeah, he's had that 4 years. So it allowed them to go out and get a Kevin Durant, to whereas Cleveland's, they have too many guys with max contracts already. And Steph Curry did not have a max contract, which gave them room and flexibility to go out and get a Kevin Durant. So they were just in a better position. Steph Curry didn't go to the next level until after he signed that contract. And so sometimes it's just a matter of timing. To Golden State, from a general manager standpoint, the timing was perfect. Because Steph Curry went to a superstar level after he signed that contract.
Yeah,
and I mean, he pretty much has the same contract that Jrue Holiday has, and
crazy.
Yeah, and so I mean, and both of them were kind of at the same level when they signed that contract. But Curry just went to another level, and for Golden State, it just kind of worked out perfectly. Kind of like Seattle when they went to the Super the Seahawks in the NFL.
Yep.
For Russell Westbrook, not Russell Westbrook, Russell Wilson took them
to
the Super Bowl, won the Super Bowl under a rookie contract. They were able to have so much talent around him, and he just performed. He outperformed his rookie contract.
Yeah,
and so and I'll even go back to even when my Saints won the Super Bowl, Drew Brees was not at a high level contract. So sometimes it just works out perfectly for you. And that's what's just kind of happened with Golden State. Now, Steph Curry's going to get a max contract here pretty soon.
So, Rob,
so
how many titles do you think Golden State can win right now?
I know that's a topic.
Egg white.
And,
I mean, I'm not holding you to your crystal ball. Do you think they can win one more? I mean, let's concede this year. Do you think they can win one, two, three more after this?
Well, right now, this will be two. And if they can keep Curry and Durant and at least two of the other all-stars on their team, and I think they have a chance to win five titles. I really do. I mean,
you ain't lying.
This team will be.
You ain't lying.
And, I mean, just think about it, guys. How many teams have two MVPs on it? I mean, practically at the same time. I mean, and so, I mean, the Bulls, Michael Jordan didn't play with another MVP. And you can make a case that Shaq and Kobe might have been the last team.
Yeah, Scottie Pippen wasn't an MVP, but he's in
a Hall of Famer. But what I'm saying is Golden State has got two MVPs and possibly two other Hall of Famers on this team right now.
Yeah, and two other guys that are locked down.
Yeah.
Jordan
and
can score.
And had another Hall of Famer with them. And, I mean, I know Kobe's only won one MVP, but he won it after the days of Shaq and Kobe. But you can make a case that might have been the last team that you might have had two MVPs. You don't have too many teams in NBA history.
Right.
This Golden State team's got two
MVPs. And what
does
the eye test tell you? What does the eye test tell you?
I'm going to say I'm going to just jump
the
in
The eye
here,
test
Greg,
tells you that Golden State's going to keep winning until either the team gets broken up or Cleveland or somebody else does something.
So I'm going to answer the question because I know we pretty much moved to the next one here, Dre. I'm going to say four, counting these two, because I don't know if you saw C.J. McCollum's text, like, Clay going to get him another ring and then he's going to go somewhere and find a team and make it his own. I think that's going to happen because I think Kevin Durant, he's not made Klay Thompson obsolete by no means, but he's taken a lot of Klay Thompson's shine, and he's still on the contract for two more years. I think they could win it in those 2 years, but I don't know if he's going to resign for less to keep that core together sitting on four rings. He may say, okay,
Thompson could very well be like the beard.
Yeah. He might just say, I'm ready to go move on.
Like the beard.
So and Pat Riley said it the best. You get the disease of more. And when you keep winning, people want more playing time. They want more shots. They want more money. They want more coverage. And it's hard to maintain all those egos. And I don't think Clay is an egomaniac, but I think he's going to get to a point where he's like, okay, I still feel like I'm a little bit undervalued because I'm standing in the shadows, to Rob's point, of two MVPs in this league. And he's going to go somewhere and try to be and build his own team. I believe that. So I say four.
I agree. Yeah, good call. Good call, gentlemen. Like I said, man, we got a lot of good fodder, man. We can talk for this topic, man, for 20 minutes easily. A lot of things we're going to kind of recap.
We've been on it for 30.
I was going to say, too. I know. Right. I was going to recap it. At least we had two of them. I was going to say that, you know, to answer your question, Rob, or you were talking about kind of the makeup of the Cavaliers and some timing things, too. You guys, everyone, Mike, JQ, great points, too. You know, LeBron, a.k.a. the GM, he's made a couple interesting decisions because Darren Williams has not worked out. Kyle Korver has not worked out like he expected. You know, so that bench, you nailed it, JQ, has not been accurate, has not been able to step up. I mean, there's rumors about Carmelo. Again, you don't know if that's going to come through. So, yeah, it's just not, you know, like you said, you're going to have kudos to – they got to do something. The Cleveland, they're going to make their – the GM's going to make his money this year as far as figuring out that squad here. So, you know, I'm with you guys. Same thing, good call about Klay Thompson, where he's going to go. He's going to get the max still too, and we'll see how that plays out as well. All right, gentlemen, we can keep this going here. Rob, let's kick it on for the mock draft. It is actually 11:30. We still got about 15 more minutes to kind of dive into a couple topics here, so let's see if we can knock these out. Go ahead, Rob, for the mock draft, sir.
All right, just an update on the mock draft. Obviously, 1 and 2 has not changed for me. Mark here.
Come on, man.
Obviously, explosive player. On a bad team in college, a guy can flat-out score the rock as well as be a distributor. He's going to be the Boston Celtics' number one pick. Lonzo Ball, obviously, some concern over the LeVar Ball issue. But the Los Angeles Lakers are not going to pass up this opportunity to take a playmaker like Ball, hometown kid. They're not going to pass up this opportunity. Magic Johnson is Magic Johnson's type of player. So he's going to go ahead and grab Lonzo Ball to hopefully be the point guard of the future for the Los Angeles Lakers. Josh Jackson, still have him, swing player from Philly. Interesting to see how Ben Simmons and he can work out together. They can have a lot of length on that basketball team with Joel Embiid.
Yep.
They can keep him healthy. You would think that at some point this team has got to turn a corner. And, I mean, that could be a lot of length and a lot of athleticism on that basketball team at some point for Philadelphia. De'Aaron Fox, have him going to Phoenix. And Jason Tatum, a guy who I'm pretty high on as well, have him going 5 to Sacramento. Malik Monk moved him up a little bit to Orlando, shooting guard from Kentucky. And Lauri Markkanen, another player I'm pretty high on, having going 7 in Minnesota. I moved him up a little bit as well. I think he's got Dirk Nowitzki kind of potential. Dennis Scott, the Knicks definitely need a point. Dennis Smith, I'm sorry. Dennis Smith, point guard from NC State, having going to Knicks. Knicks in desperate need. Jonathan Isaac, athletic guy, needs to get in the weight room, get a little bit stronger. I moved him down a little bit in the draft. I have him going number 9 to the Dallas Mavericks. And a point guard from France who is going to be a really good player, I believe, Rick Inankini, point guard from France.
Good job, Rob.
6'5 point guard. Have him going to Sacramento at the number 10 position. And I'll just skip over a few other picks. Ag Anunoby from Indiana, obviously coming off of a big injury that hurt his last season, but he's got a lot of potential. And I think he's moving back up the draft as well. I have him going number 12 to Detroit. Shooting guard, Luke Kennard from Duke. Have him going to the Denver Nuggets. T.J. Leaf, power forward from UCLA. Have him going to the Bulls at 16. Harry Giles, power forward from Duke. Going to Milwaukee. Kyle Kuzma, a guy who I'm also pretty high on, who's really actually when the draft process started, had a more of a second-round guy. He's really been impressive in workouts and in the draft camps. Power forward from Utah, have him going 19 to Atlanta. And let's see, Justin Jackson, national champion from North Carolina, have him going 21 to Oklahoma City. Ivan Rabb, another guy who I think has potential but just hasn't shown it all at Cal just yet, have him going 24 to Utah. And we can stop there.
So it looks like,
and
it
just
looks
for
like,
sake of it, I'll
throw
in the Lakers,
too, by the way.
JQ and the Lakers fan. I'll go ahead and the 28th pick for the Lakers, Wesley Iwundu, swingman from Kansas State.
I like him.
JQ.
I like him in the tournament. I like that pick for him. No, I like him for that pick. For he actually just played for Kansas State, and I made me wonder what kind of knucklehead he is because he's got all that talent. He went to go play at Kansas State. There's got to be something wrong with him. But I like his talent. And that late in the draft, in the first round, I do like the – maybe they can work him out. But I'm just saying, if you got that kind of talent, why would you go to Kansas State? Like, come on. I just don't want Lonzo Ball in that circus. I really don't.
That's
and I know
happen,
what you're saying,
bro.
Rob, and everybody's saying
– he's going to the Lakers.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Remember,
I want
like
them
I told
to take
you,
the
J.Q.,
Aaron Fox.
It's going to happen. It ain't going to happen, bro. It ain't going to happen.
I know.
You might as well just like suck it up, bro. It's going to happen, man. So, anyway. I was going to ask you, Rob. So, we're going to talk about some top five draft classes. Is there any potential superstars in this? I know it's hard to predict, but is there, like, any superstars you think from this draft or anyone that you think can kind of make an impact from this mock draft, if you will?
I actually like quite a few players that has potential. Barkel Fultz, Lonzo Ball, we can start right there. I think both of those guys have all-star potential. But I also think the Josh Jackson, De'Aaron Fox, Jason Tatum, I think all have potential to possibly be all-stars. Jason Tatum has the athleticism. I think he has a chance of being an elite defender in the NBA. He's got to work on his offensive skills a little bit to possibly take that step. And I think Lauri Markkanen is another guy that has a chance to be an all-star in this league. I mean, I would say we could possibly have anywhere between 6 to 8 all-stars come out of this draft. I really believe that.
And I think Dennis Smith could also be one of those, too, just be a legitimate point guard. I agree with that.
Wow. Good call.
I think
all right,
all said done, we're going to have at least – I mean, you might have a few. We don't know who the busts are going to be. You probably have a few of those. But I think you're going to have 6 to 8 all-stars here in this top 10 in this draft.
Gotcha. Anything else you want to add to that, JQ?
No, go ahead, bro.
It's funny to hear you talk because it's just like, Lonzo Ball. I know you hate that with a passion, bro, but it's going to happen, man. Face the inevitable, man. It is what it is, bro. So. There could be worse picks, man. There could be worse picks, man.
Not until they call his name. I can keep hope alive like Jesse Jackson.
Keep hope alive. I love it. Man. All right. I'm going to let you handle this, Rob. I'm not going to talk about the top five classes unless JQ wants to talk about this too as well. So kick us off. Floor is yours again, Rob. Go ahead, man.
All right, I'm going to start with the 1996 NBA draft. Allen Iverson, Kobe Bryant, Steve Nash, Ray Allen, Jermaine O'Neal, Antoine Shimmy Walker, Marcus Camby, Peja Stojakovic, Stephon Marbury, Derek Fisher.
Wow.
So I'll just start there for the 96 draft. Number two, I'm going to go with 2003 draft. I mean, you just look at the top five guys in that draft. You're talking about LeBron, Carmelo, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, and then even a guy named David West got picked up at number 18 slot. He's been a few-time All-Star as well. And then let's look at the 1987 draft. David Robinson, Scottie Pippen, Reggie Miller, Horace Grant, Mark Jackson, Kenny Smith, KJ, Kevin Johnson, Reggie Lewis, played for the Boston Celtics. That was a pretty talented draft. Then let's go to a more recent one, 2011. Kyrie Irving, Klay Thompson, Kyrie Leonard, Tristan Thompson, even though he's been a bust in these finals. Jimmy Butler, Isaiah Thomas.
Yes, Lord.
Speaking of Tristan Thompson, did you guys hear about the Kardashian curse?
Yeah, man, he's all over it.
Yeah,
I told his dumb ass.
Heard about the curse, Oh,
man, I got to send you guys that. It is hilarious. And last but not least, in 1985, this was actually the first draft under the lottery era. Patrick Ewing, who a lot of people think the NBA rigged the draft for the Knicks to get him. Patrick Ewing, Karl Malone, Chris Mullin, Detlef
Shrimp. Detlef Shrimp.
Joe Dumars. A.C. Jerry Carroll Green, Terry Porter, Manute Bol, and Spud Webb.
Yeah.
No
job,
hate
Rob.
On those drafts. Yes, sir.
Good job on that, man. Man, that's I give you credit, man, because that's going back, man, because I thought you were going to pull the, some easier drafts too, man. But You know, excellent job. I was thinking one with Shaquille. Remember Shaquille? You had Shaquille. You had Christian Laettner. You had Mourning. That was when, you know, that obviously there's not a lot of star power later on, but, you know, I thought you were going to go that direction too, man. But excellent job.
Now, wasn't Shaq and Chris Webber and Kenny Hardaway, weren't all them in the same draft?
That's I'm looking that up right now because I'm trying to, like, I was thinking that draft too.
Yeah, I think Shaq, Penny Hardaway, Chris Webber, and Christian Laettner. I think the four of them were in the same draft.
Yeah, I believe
I'll tell you who's in the draft right now. Give me a quick second to pull this up too, man, because I literally was thinking that was the 92 draft, and you had Alonzo Mourning. You had Shaq, Alonzo Mourning, Christian Laettner. You had a guy named Jimmy Jackson who was, you know.
Oh, Jimmy Jackson,
all
state.
You remember LaFonso?
Oh, Chris Webber was the following year. Because Chris Webber was 93.
You had your boy who you sent me the link, Latrell Sprewell, in there too as well, Rob. So Latrell Sprewell was later on. You had Tom Gugliaga, if I said that correctly. You had a guy named Robert Horry, Big Shot Bob. You had Baby Jordan. He didn't do anything. He kind of like fizzled out. Doug Christie was in that draft too. Hubert Davis. And then you had a couple of guys, you know, that kind of faded away too, man. But that was a pretty interesting draft. That was kind of top heavy too. Todd Day was in that draft. Clarence Witherspoon was in there. Man, I'm flipping out, man.
Mm-hmm. I remember him.
The Hawks drafted Adam Keefe. That was so bad. Why did we draft Howard? Man, that was terrible. Anthony Peeler, Malik Sealy, Hubert J. John Berry. Oh,
John
my gosh. Remember that?
John
Oh, man. I'm trying to think of anyone else that made an impact, and no one else kind of like hits that too. But it is a crapshoot for sure, man. But anyway, gentlemen, do you have anything to add to that, JQ, as we were to the draft classes?
That was solid. Yeah. That was solid. The 96 draft, for me, that is just ignorant. And Tracy McGrady and Allen Iverson and Kobe Bryant and Marcus Camby, like that, Stephen Marbury, that is just an ignorant draft class.
Wow. good calls. All right. We're going to keep this over here. Let's talk about we're going to switch gears here. We got about 3 minutes here. So I guess we're going to kind of – we got like a minute to talk about Bob Stoops, and we're going to talk about the OT. We're going to try to cut the OT. I got like a lot of things happening in the background too, a lot of love too, man. So shout out to the fam. That's what I'm dealing with, but a lot of love for them. So really quickly, was Bob Stoops retiring a surprise? I know you guys were hitting me up about that. I'm going to kick it to you, JQ, your thoughts about this, and stay tuned, Rob, and we'll do the OT right after that.
Well, you know, I'm a conspiracy theorist, and I just feel like that something is coming rumbling down the tracks that he knows about, because it's just so odd, the timing of it. I know they said he wants to be with his kids. He graduated, and he's grooming Lincoln Riley and been grooming him to be the head coach. That's all well and good. And that may end up being the case, and I could be wrong, but I just, you know, whenever you see a coach with that kind of tenure at a school that you feel like could just write his own ticket for at least another 5-10 years probably, unless he just hit rock bottom, I have a hard time feeling that they don't know that something is coming. And I think he got out before. He pulled a Pete Carroll.
Uh-oh. Rob, your thoughts, man.
Yeah, I pretty much mostly agree with that. The timing of it is surprising, definitely. Why June 7th or June 6th, whenever it happened here in the last couple of days? The timing of it was very surprising. Now, in the football circles, everybody knew this was just a matter of time before it happens, because Lincoln Riley was being groomed to take over. Similar to what happened down in Florida State with
Bobby Bowden.
What's the coach?
Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah.
Jimbo Fisher and Bobby Bowden.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that was Bob Stoops' desire all along, to have the same seamless transition like Florida State has had. And that was kind of his goal all along with Lincoln Riley, groom him to be the next Jimbo Fisher and have the same seamless transition that Florida State has. So we knew it was just a matter of time here in the next year or two. Just very surprising that it happened at this point here at June 7th. But they were definitely following the Florida State model all along here, and that was their desires.
Hey, Rob, we got 50 seconds, man. Go ahead and wrap us up and do the OT portion, bro.
Next week, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be back on the air on Thursday night again. It's going to be June 15th. It's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Then our friends in Hawaii, aloha. It's going to be 5 p.m. Hawaiian time. Definitely want to tune in on next Thursday. We'll get you caught up on the Golden State Warriors Championship.
and, of course, getting ready for the NBA draft. And we'll probably even throw in some OTAs. JQ, I got a little secret. I got some insight on the Cincinnati Bengals OTAs, so you might like that.
Okay. Oh, I like
that. Everyone listening live, we appreciate you guys checking in. We'll see you guys same time, same channel next week. See you crashed out, JQ.
Yes, sir. Go Chargers.
Mike, are you in? Big Mike, are you in?
Big Mike?
Is Big Mike still in? Okay.
Right, hey, I'm here, man.
All right.
Give me about 3 minutes.
Well, you got about 20 minutes. We have 50 minutes because the show's going to be ending in like 50 minutes. But, yeah, we appreciate you calling in and showing us some love, too. But anyway, so we're going to –
Yo, I'm coming back strong.
Here, so.
Don't fade on me.
Okay. Okay, you got like – what did you say, 5 minutes or 10 minutes? What did you say whenever you're coming in, bro? Did I miss that?
No, I said give me about 2 minutes and I'll be back talking strong and listening.
Okay, good deal. All right, we'll give him about 2 minutes here, and we'll let Big Mike have his moment there. I just want to really quickly talk about Bob Stoops because I actually was reading a little bit about this, and me being on the on this side of the coast here, and there was an interesting quote that I don't know if you guys know this, that Bob Stoops, his dad actually died on the football field, believe it or not. He had a heart attack, and they've said that that's always been in Bob Stoops' mind as far as he didn't want to. He wanted to go out on top and without anything, you know, from there. So that's another reason why he kind of made the decision. Now, again, JQ, where there's smoke, there's fire, there could be something else into that. But I thought that was pretty interesting because I was looking at the article. I'm like, there had to be something going on, like, why he left too. But, you know, it could be a legitimate situation where he's like Rob said, he's literally passing the torch on. But, again,
yeah,
we will know later on down the pipe too. Yeah, yeah, who knows? So. You called it. Today is June the 8th. It is literally, 11:46 Eastern time. So we'll see if that's a true statement, you know, if that comes to fruition, man. So we'll keep that going, too. All right. Let's talk about one of my hated things to talk about, the Patriots. And I guess they
were here we go.
And it's just, is this Big Mike? Is this Big Mike's moment? Is this your moment, Mike? You want to talk about this, bro? About the decision to extend Julian Edelman here, you want to talk about this or what, bro?
I'm ignorant to this. Jaquan knows. In the off season, the only news I follow is the Packers. So go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry, that wasn't Rob.
Sorry to hear that, Big Mike.
Hey, I got. You give me 2 minutes at some point at the end of this conversation, and I want to bring something up that Jaquan and I have been arguing about for a minute.
Oh,
but go ahead. Go ahead. Let's talk about Julian Edelman.
I don't really have to talk about that, but Rob, it's your call. If you want to let Mike have his moment here, I'm totally cool with that too, man. So it's on you, man.
Well, Julian Edelman, obviously it's a solid signing by the New England Patriots. He's not going to beat the top of defenses off, but he's a solid possession receiver, and he's very reliable for Tom Brady. Obviously, it helps that he has Tom Brady as quarterback. But just think about this: last year, he was targeted 159 times.
Yep, PPR King.
Zero of those turned into INT. And so that's a pretty remarkable statistic. And when you look at going back to 2013, he's got 356 receptions. And listen to these names. There's only four receivers in that time frame that has more receptions than him. Antonio Brown.
Yep.
Demaryius Thomas. Larry Fitzgerald. And Julio Jones. Those are the only four receivers that got more receptions than Julian Edelman here since 2013. So obviously
it's a pretty fantastic class.
And now you got Brandon Cooks to throw the top of defenses. So it could be pretty scary going against the Patriots this year.
Oh, Lord, how much.
In Julian's case, is that on Julian or is that on Tom Brady being a phenomenal quarterback?
Good call.
I just mentioned that it certainly helps to have Tom Brady as quarterback.
I'm looking at Julian Edelman like Greg Jennings or Aaron Rodgers. You know, I'm a Homer Packer fan.
Nice.
Greg Jennings was the same guy.
No, it's like Wes Welker.
Yeah. Once he was outside of Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
That's true. For New England,
yeah.
That's a no-doubter. For New England,
yeah.
It's a no-doubter. He fits their system. He's their new weapon.
Catches
yep.
the ball.
Absolutely.
He's fast. He's shifty. But outside of Tom Brady passing him the ball, or in Greg Jennings' case, Aaron Rodgers passing the ball, you could go back and say, well, Brett Favre was passing him the ball before that, but that's another Hall of Famer quarterback.
Yeah.
Julian Edelman, I'm not taking anything away from that man. Somebody's got to put their hands on the ball, catch it, bring it in, and you know, make the catch, gain the yards, or go for more yards, the yak. But you've got either Tom Brady, Brett Favre, or Aaron Rodgers, the three guys I just mentioned. I don't see that Julian Edelman is in the same class as Julio Jones or, you know, the other guys you mentioned.
Wow.
That's true.
No, that's a good call.
Yeah.
No,
yeah, he's not.
He's not a Julio
that is
Jones.
Pretty impressive.
He's not a Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, Antonio Brown.
Yeah. And not a, definitely
that's
not
Antonio
Brown.
That's not me loving on a white guy right there. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah, you got love. Show some love to all guys. I love it. That's a true love. Man. So guys, let me ask the question here. So, you know, again, great information, Rob, on the stats, man, because, you know, at this juncture, you know, you look at Julian Edelman, and not to talk about your boy, JQ, Chad Johnson couldn't do it, and Julian Edelman is, you know, so got to give him credit, man, for making certain plays, man, within an offense, and
absolutely.
Tom Brady or not, too. So, yeah, so I'm just, it, that's just very
now,
surprising.
Chad's defense, that was at the end of his career now.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt that you got a perfect spiral coming right on the target most of the
yep.
time you're trying to catch the ball.
Yeah, and that Bengals offense was different. They weren't a dink and duck offense. They were a down the field attack you with TJ and Chad and Chris Henry, you know, RIP. So, you know, you got to also put the system into play, too. That's what New England
True.
Does. I think it's a smart re-signing True. For him. Don't get me wrong. He is very effective in what they asked him to be effective at
yeah.
doing. So you re-sign him and you keep it going and just see how much more you can get out of Tom Brady in his early 40s. I have no problems with the move. I hate it, and I hate them, but it's smart.
Being a Packer homer, put Randall Cobb out there catching passes out of the slot for Tom Brady. He's gonna have just as many catches and as many yards as Julian does.
Nice. Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. So we got 8 minutes here. I'm really getting close to the end. So I want you to go ahead and. Do your topic you're talking about, Mike, and you and JQ kind of do your thing, and we'll kind of go from there, man, and we'll wrap this up. Go ahead.
You guys are giving me all kinds of love today, and I probably don't deserve it. So it's all good, bro. It's a really simple question. If Aaron Rodgers were to retire right now, is he a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Dude, come on, that's a no-brainer, man.
Yeah, I would say yes.
I would say no.
He's a Super Bowl winner.
I already know what your answer is. Don't influence the other two. Rob said yes right away.
You said Aaron Rodgers.
I would definitely say yes.
He's
won
Aaron
a Super Bowl.
Right?
He's been the MVP in the league. He's been one of the better quarterbacks.
What?
Now, I've said on the show here numerous times that I don't think Aaron Rodgers played his best football in the last couple of years. He did come on a little strong at the end of the year this past season, but for a year and a half of the last 2 years, I don't think Aaron Rodgers played his best, but he has been at times the best quarterback in the NFL at some points in the last 5 to 6 years. He won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I would say he's definitely a first ballot Hall of Famer, though.
But he, yeah, exactly. Rob weighed in. Jaquan, keep your mouth shut for just a second.
All right. Go ahead, Jordan.
No,
he's waiting
I'm
on you.
Saying yeah, because, no, I'm saying yes, he's the first ballot homer. That dude has been on the top of the league.
That was
you know, yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm finished. I'll let you get your point in.
That's all we really needed to hear. Jaquan wants to say that he is not right now a first ballot Hall of Famer. That was the question I posed to him a while ago.
Why not, JQ? I'll take the bait. Why not?
Jaquan. Look at the highlight reel of Aaron Rodgers.
Here we go.
Tell me that
here we
he
go.
Doesn't use. Take a look at a 1 minute, a 3 minute, a 5 minute highlight reel. And if you're taking the 1 minute reel, you're compressing some ridiculous throws that you're leaving out 10 other throws that are better throws than most guys in the league that have ever been in the league have ever thrown.
5 minutes.
One time.
5 minutes.
Yeah. So let me talk, Punk. The reason why I say that, and I feel like he's on the line.
I'm
didn't
glad
say y'all
have
like,
that
oh,
kind of
no,
relationship.
He's just garbage. I'm not saying that. My point is this: for one, quarterbacks are held to a much higher standard. He's got one title right now. I think he's got to get at least another one. He also had to sit behind Brett Favre, so it took some of the years off of his stat life sitting behind Brett Favre. I think he's a phenomenal quarterback, and I think he's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day. I just don't think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer right now.
But
give me three or four more years of him doing that, then yes.
Quan, you told me 3 weeks ago that he was not a first ballot Hall of Famer if he retired right now.
I still believe
and
that.
I think you're wrong.
Okay, well, I disagree with you, brother. I don't think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer right now if he retired tomorrow. Now, if he plays three or four more years and gets another title and he keeps making those ridiculous throws, I will say yes. But right now, quarterbacks are different.
JQ, you're an engineer. You look at numbers. Look at the eye test.
I look at quarterbacks get treated. When quarterbacks get treated, you got to have more than one. Or you got to have crazy, stupid.
Dan Marino has zero,
category.
And he was a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, but he also played for like 20 years and held every passer record when he retired.
Oh, come on. Brett Favre has one, and he played for 20 years, and he threw away more games than Aaron Rodgers has saved.
And he
threw
in the triple coverage more than any quarterback I've ever seen.
Yeah, but you talk about the 15 years.
Aaron Rodgers can do so many more things than any quarterback that I've ever seen.
But you keep missing the fact about 15 years, 20 years. That's what I'm talking about. He doesn't have that yet. So that's why I'm saying with the one title.
Let me ask this question. Yep.
But he didn't play all 12 of those. He only played 8. Did
really
he
quickly,
like 4
really
years
quickly.
To have before?
No, you're crazy. He's at 11 already.
Oh, my gosh. Really quickly, let me ask you this. Let me say one name.
Quan, come on now.
I'm going to throw a name out there for you guys real quickly. Barry Sanders. Hall of Famer?
The Green Bay Packers had drafted Barry Sanders instead of Tony Mandridge, arguably one of the biggest busts.
But I'm saying, what about Barry Sanders?
Listen to this for just a second. If the Green Bay Packers had picked Barry Sanders instead of Tony Mandridge, the Packers may not have hired Ron Wolf as their GM, which may not have led to Brett Favre being in Green Bay in the early 90s.
Yeah.
And so,
so
that's all hypothetical.
Right.
Yep.
I'm just saying Barry Sanders for the Hall
but
of Fame.
I would love to. That's the guy. I would love to have had Barry Sanders as a Green Bay Packer.
I'm not saying for the Green Bay. I'm saying as a Hall of Famer because you got a guy right there that never reached the Super Bowl, never did anything, but he's one of the greatest backs in history, right? Would you agree with that?
God. Absolutely.
Like, yeah,
I just said quarterbacks are held to a different standard. I've said that.
Okay.
Quarterbacks are held to a different standard.
On the first ballot, how do you not vote for Barry Sanders?
Okay, I'm just saying this guy had an amazing, but he didn't win a championship at all.
I think quarterbacks are 100% in
agreement. And I get you, JQ. You're going to keep saying that with the quarterback, so that's going to be your out for that too. But enough said, gentlemen. It's been a privilege sharing the field of battle. Rob, you got a minute to wrap this up. Go ahead and wrap up the show. Tell us about next week. JQ, you got 30 seconds too as well. And Mike, 30 seconds. Go, Rob.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in on tonight. We'll be back with you on next Thursday night. That's going to be June 15th. Once again, that's 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. for our friends on the West Coast. And that's going to be 5 p.m. in Hawaii. And actually, it's going to be Friday, June 16th. Our friends on the little island of Guam at 2 p.m. Good night, people.
JQ, 10 seconds.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about, you know, Mike continuing to call in and put us all this crazy Packer talk. We need the Packers weren't even in the Super Bowl. So we call it y'all next week. Appreciate y'all listening.
Mike,
I'll y'all later.
You got 10 seconds.
Man, I don't even need 10 seconds. I'm going to say, JQ, you're my boy. I love you. I appreciate all your time for Dre and Rob. Thanks for letting me hang out.
Thanks for tuning in. Y'all don't have to get too mushy with each other on the air.
Oh, well, I love you guys. See you guys same time next week, guys. Be good.
All right,
good night, people.